Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you one and all. We have some off sick, but we trust the Lord will bless them, and maybe even they will be able to listen in and hear the recording of today's study. We're turning to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, we're moving on a little bit. I've told you that there are four sections to the Psalm. Each section has three verses. We've looked at the first three verses, that is section 1, and we've considered man's rebellion against the Lord. Isn't man both arrogant and foolish? Arrogant that he should dare to defy God, and foolish to think that he could possibly succeed. He will come to a sad end in his trying to defy the Lord. Now, as I say, we come to the second section, that is, verses 4, 5, and 6. We sang from the Psalm 37 this morning, the first 7 verses, 6 stanzas, and there God was telling us we're not to fret about the attitude of the ungodly toward the Lord, toward His work and word, and toward His people. We're not to fret about it. Oh, it's annoying. It's vexing. But we're not to be unduly disturbed by it, because it will come to an end one day. And this morning we're going to go a little further in our study, and having looked at man's rebellion, now we're going to consider what God's reaction was. How did God react to man's rebellion? And that's something that we should notice. And noticing it, we should learn from it. If God's alarmed, then we ought to be alarmed. But if God's not alarmed, then we shouldn't be alarmed. Let's read then. Verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Isn't that interesting? God laughing. And laughing at what? Silly man's attempts to cast him down from his throne. I've often seen, in my lifetime, little boys, maybe even little girls, tackling daddy. And there they are, that height, and they run at daddy and they grab him around the legs and the heave and the pull and the push. And he's above them, patting on their head and laughing. Laughing at this little one, trying to knock them down. Maybe you've tried that. Maybe you've tackled daddy and nothing happens. Well, that's the picture here. God laughs at the efforts of men. Better read a little further. Come on. We're at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. He'll mock them. Mock them. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Well, we're going to look at these words and trust that the Lord will bless us as we do so. Nothing would be more appropriate, more fitted for us to study than these words in this day in which we see the beginnings of that rebellion recorded in the opening verses of this psalm. The spirit of rebellion is abroad today. If you're ever down at the beach, whatever time of the day you arrive at, the tide may be well in and well up the beach, or it may be away out there in the distance. But if it's away out there in the distance, it's coming in. And each little wave that comes up the beach, it's coming a little further each time. A little further. Until it reaches high tide. Well, the tide of man's wickedness is coming in, and it's getting a little higher up the beach, as it were, every year. Oh, believe me, boys and girls, I see a tremendous difference in the atmosphere in our country today from what there was when I was your size. A tremendous difference. It's hard for me to try and even explain the difference. But gradually, in Northern Ireland, as well as other parts of the world, indeed all parts of the world, there has been this creeping in of wickedness. Until men and women are doing that, which when I was a boy, people would never think of doing it. Would have been ashamed of being linked with it. But today, there's nothing thought about it. Because that which we read about in the first three verses is advancing. And it's coming about. Man rejects God's standard, God's law. He's throwing it over. And he's doing just what it is he likes. Here in our country, there's a great cry for peace. But it's a peace that is at the expense or the cost of justice, of truth, of righteousness. Let's have peace no matter what it costs us. It's a peace which sees the murderer, the terrorist, let out of jail, his sentence for his crimes cut, and he's taken by the hand by and large. And some of them have been exalted to very high positions in the land and are running, governing the land. And people say, well, it's good, this is peace. But it's not a peace that God is pleased with. It's not a peace that God is pleased with. And it's not true peace at all. It's not true peace at all. If a burglar comes to your house with a gun in his hand, and he points the gun at you and says, I want your money. Now, you can have peace with that burglar by saying, sure, take my money and my jewels and anything and everything. Here's the keys of my car. And you'll have peace. Burglar, do you no harm. He'll take all that you have and off he'll go. But that's not true peace. That's just a surrender to what is wrong. And that's what we have in our land. And that's what men are looking for. They want nothing to do with what God says should be done in the face of evil, but rather they want to advance their own notion. So, we already begin to see that which is spoken of here in the opening verses of Psalm 2 taking place before us. There's a raging against God. In fact, just this morning I got an email from a friend who drew my attention to an appeal from Australia, from those who are involved with Christian education in Australia, asking for people to sign a petition against the attacks that are being made upon the Christian schools there. Now, we have sympathy with them, naturally enough, because we know something of the same spirit here in our land. Ever since this work, this school started, many years ago, there have been many difficulties, many problems brought against the school. And there are many Christians who foolishly, blindly, don't support this work of Christian education. And it's all part of the spirit of rebellion that there is against God. Well, as we come to the next three verses, we just read them, we see God's reaction. What does God think about all this shouting that's going on amongst men, shaking of the fist at him? What does God think about it? You know, as I came to this morning, I was thinking of what it says in Psalm 19. You big ones, just turn over a few pages there to it. Psalm 19, verse 1. What does it say? The heavens declare, tell, witness to, speak of, the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. What does that mean? Well, if you go out at night, and if you happen to live where there's not a lot of lights, it's not just so easy to do this if you live in a town. But if you live in the country, as well, the most of you do, and if you look up on a clear night, the stars are there in uncountable numbers, millions and millions, glorious. And they're all saying one thing, doesn't this show the glory of God? Doesn't this show what he has done? That's what nature says. So nature speaks to us. The beauty that we see around us, it speaks to us of God's power, his wisdom, his glory, his kindness. But we've got to go to the Bible in order to, as it were, see into the mind of God and hear what his thoughts are on man's rebellion. You could look up at the sky forever and not know or not be told what God's attitude is to sinful man's rebellion.
But when you come to this psalm, it's set out clearly.
He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. We're shown God reacting to man's sin. Here we have God sitting. That's the first thing I want you to notice. There's other aspects of God's person and purpose revealed to us. But here we have God sitting. And that's important for us to notice. He that sitteth. If the fire alarm was to go off in the school now, what would everybody do? They'd jump up and they'd follow the instructions given them in order to escape the fire. They wouldn't remain sitting. Isn't that what would happen? Well, God's not jumping up in fear or alarm or concern at what men are doing and saying. He that sitteth doesn't disturb God, you see. It doesn't upset God. He remains at peace, totally calm, in the face of man's rebellion. The word here, the Hebrew word that's translated sitteth, just simply means to abide, to remain. He just remains perfectly calm in the face of man's rebellion. Why need anyone fear those who threaten you but cannot reach you? Why should anybody be alarmed at their threats if they can't touch you? And men may threaten God, but they can't touch him. They can't touch him. You remember when the Lord Jesus, in fact, I just read it this morning, was in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose. And there were the disciples in a panic. And what was the Lord doing? Sleeping. Resting peacefully on a pillow. Oh, boys and girls, what a picture that gives us of how God reacts to the storm of man's hatred and opposition. On another occasion, there was a storm, and the Lord Jesus came walking on the top of the waves. You see, what men do and what men say caused God no more bother than did the waves of Galilee in a storm. He slept, and on another occasion he walked triumphantly over them. Listen to what we read in Isaiah chapter 40. And the verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This shows the glorious power of God. Man is nothing more than a grasshopper, just a wee grasshopper. And what he says he's going to do against God doesn't bother him. There's been a storm this last few days, one storm after another indeed. And you know, there's many a picture given us in the newspapers and so forth of the storm. And you know the thing they always show us? The seaside. And they show the waves coming in and crashing against the sea wall and a great burst of water rising up. Many people living in the area go to see it. And you'd be as well not getting too close to the sea wall when you do go to see it. But there's a wonderful reminder there of what we're reading about. No matter how the sea may rage, it stops at the sea wall. It throws itself against the sea wall and it splashes upwards. But it has to stop. And man's rebellion is like the sea. It may get all storm-tossed and choppy and raging, but it can't go beyond the sea wall. It may splash over it a wee bit, but that's about it. Even more wonderful, man's rage against God only goes so far, and it runs into God's wall. So you see, God is sitting, not disturbed, but it tells us something more. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God despises, mocks man's rebellion. He doesn't get frightened by it. He laughs. He's amused. He's amused at man's rebellion. Let me show you just what this word laugh means.
It appears a number of times in the Old Testament. And if you look at the first place and the last place that it appears, it'll help you understand what it is telling us about God. You old ones, look up Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, it's a very familiar portion. It's all about a fella called Samson. Now, you know the story of Samson. Well, the word translated here in our passage as laugh appears in the verse 25 of Judges chapter 16. Verse 25 says, "And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport." Can you see the word laugh in there? You might just be mistaken. Because the Hebrew word that appears in Psalm 2 as laugh appears here as the word sport. Sport. Bring in Samson that he might perform for us. Entertain us. Make us laugh so that we can mock him. That's the word. And God looks down on the antics of men and their rebellion, the way the people plan to look at Samson. He'll entertain us very reverently. We say that what men do by way of rebellion against God, it makes them laugh. Makes them laugh. Now the last place it appears is in the book of Zechariah. And that's almost the last book of the Old Testament. It's the last book but one. There's only one other book after it. And it's Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And it's a verse that speaks about the future times. Zechariah was always talking about things that would happen in the future. And here in the verse 5, it's describing for us what Jerusalem will be like one day after the Lord comes. Verse 5 says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." You know, God loves boys and girls to play. He does. He loves them to play. And in the future, when the Lord Jesus comes and sets up his reign on this earth, one of the things that boys and girls will be able to do is play in the streets of Jerusalem. Can you see our word that appears in Psalm 2 as laugh in this verse? Joseph, I'm going to give you a chance. Play. You're right. Play. And you know when you go out, and you'll be going out to break soon. I hope the weather's not very pleasant. But if you did go out, you'd be scampering around and playing one with the other and enjoying yourself. That's how God is. As he looks down on men rebelling against him, defying him, mocking him, blaspheming him, God laughs. He's like a boy or a girl playing. He's quite happy. He's not in the least upset by what men are doing, in the sense that he's troubled that they might cast him down from his throne. He feels perfectly safe. Are you getting the picture? God sitting, God laughing. That's God's reaction to man's rebellion. Now I want to say one thing more. Those who are Christians and who are forever coming into God's presence in prayer, that's what prayer is. We turn our back on the world and everything else. We even close our eyes to shut out the world. And we come into God's presence. And when you do that, you begin to share in that same atmosphere in which God dwells. You begin to share in his calmness. Christians often say in the midst of trouble and distress, God is still on the throne. He's not disturbed by it all. Therefore, I'm not going to be disturbed either. You know, boys and girls, in years past, there were men and women who were tortured because they loved the Lord. Tortured to the extent that many of them were taken out, tied to a pole, and firewood gathered round their feet and set on fire, and they were burned to death. But in the midst of what we can only imagine, the most dreadful pain. They sang, they prayed, even for those who had lit the fire. Now, I can only say to you that God intervened there, and the pain and the suffering that the fire naturally and normally would bring to them, somehow or other, God overruled it, and so filled their hearts and minds with His peace, His joy, that the pain that they were suffering could not stop them singing. I tell you, in the face of man's wickedness, God sitting on the throne laughing. And those of us who come into His presence will share in His feeling of joy, contentment, and peace. The Bible's full of instances like that. You remember Daniel, when he was thrown into the den of lions, perfectly at peace. God restrained the lions, stopped them doing what they normally would do, and Daniel was perfectly at peace. I was reading just yesterday where a poor, sinful mother in another part of the world, visiting a zoo, had her little 3-year-old daughter with her. And for some reason or other, she took the little girl, and they were standing at the bars of the bear pit. And there was a huge brown bear wandering about in the bear pit. And she took her daughter, reached her out over the bars, and dropped her. And the bear come down. And it reached down, and it took a wee sniff. And then away it went, and left her alone. That wasn't quite what I'm sure most people watching this dreadful scene would have thought the bear would do. We all would think that the bear will kill this wee girl, but it didn't. That's God's mercy. And we needn't fear the rebellion that's building up out there. We needn't fear, we needn't be alarmed. God's on the throne. And if we look at Him, we see Him sitting. If we listen, we hear Him laughing. Not in the least disturbed. Not in the least disturbed. Well, we have some more things to notice from these three verses, and we'll continue that study the next time I'm with you. I hope you've learned something today of God and His power. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today that Thou art on the throne. Thou art sitting, unperturbed, undisturbed by the rebelliousness of men. Oh, the world is in turmoil. Over there on the borders of Russia, Lord, what fear there is at the prospect of Russia invading her neighbor. And Lord, in many countries, COVID is wreaking havoc. And many are dying. And there's 1,000 other troubles affecting this world. But Lord, in the midst of it all, we may see Thee on Thy throne, sitting, undisturbed by man's rebellion. May we enter into that same peace, Lord, by contemplating this revelation of Thee given us in Thy word. Bless the boys and girls today. Bless the teachers. Bless those who are unable to be here because of sickness. May Your hand be upon them. Oh, look down upon every home associated with our school. Remember those folk in Australia, Lord, who are facing troubles. We don't know the details of their troubles, though we can guess. The spirit of man is opposed to every act of obedience by God's people. Hear and answer prayer today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.